We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature, whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes. Nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently with offline maps and on-trail navigation. Download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to episode 71 of A Wild Podcast Has Appeared, the official podcast of comicbook.com. I am one of your hosts, Jim Viscardi, and as always, I am joined by Christian Hoffer and Megan Peters, and today we have a very special guest. It is Steve Black from It's Super Effective, a very, very fantastic Pokemon podcast that I've been a huge, huge fan of for a very long time. So Steve, thanks for coming by.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Excited to be here.
Everyone else, you're fine.
I can just leave. I see how it is.
I can cut out. It's fine.
All right, Steve, let's set a couple of guidelines. One, we make fun of Jim a lot. Okay,
we all hate terrible opinions on this podcast.
Wow, like
this is supposed to be the stuff that happens before the show.
No.
Here comes the bus
right now. One, Jim's opinions are wrong always. Two, we make fun of him about his childhood. We make fun of his resume.
I'm trying to figure out the best way to like full disclosure all of this, and there just really isn't. Before working at Comic Book, I did a stint at Marvel, but before that, what we talk about often because of the line they have there, I spent 8 years at Build-A-Bear Workshop. So,
now, we recently discovered that apparently, right, as part of his job at Build-A-Bear, he would wear skins.
I was the mascot. No.
He would wear the mascot costume.
But the individual things that you fill up, like the animal husks basically were termed skins, and that was just really it's really weird.
So
we are not here to talk about my work history. We are here to talk about Pokemon because that is something we all love. If you're new to the show is broken up into three parts. First part is a quick news headline rundown. We take a break, then we do a deep dive, and then the fan favorite Pokemon fact of the week. We have a bit of news this week. We got a trailer for Crowd Tundra.
In a manner of speaking. Yeah, we did. We certainly did. One, the South African Nintendo account released it. I don't think it's been released on any other thing. It shows like 5 seconds of new footage. But it's new 5 seconds of new footage. And boy, does it look awesome.
I think the thing that kind of excites me about it is the fact that like maybe we're just gearing up for the next wave of press for it, and that means there's more news coming, because as much as I like the previous expansion pack, I am starting to feel like I have worn it out. So,
Steve, did you enjoy the the Isle of Armor? Yeah, that's what.
Yeah.
It was.
Yeah, I liked the Isle of Armor quite a bit, more than, I kind of expected it to be like a 2 to 3 hour story, which is what we got, but I was really happy with the space itself, this a lot, and I agree with it. I think it's what the wild area should have been the first time, I think that's a compliment. It's good. It kind of gives you no reason to go back to the old wild area, I feel like. So I'm excited that if the Crown Tundra has this wild area and is the wild area of the Isle of Armor, but better, I don't know. I don't think that's a complaint at all. I think that's exciting.
Yeah.
Steve, what was your, what starter did you go with this gen?
I think I went with Grookey. Well, gosh, I played through the game multiple times, but Grookey the first time.
I think among the three of us, I think we each picked a different one.
Yeah, right? I picked Grookey.
I'm so squad.
Yeah, and I went Score Bunny.
Notice that the hearts of the podcasts of the respective Pokemon podcasts both picked the best Pokemon there. Grookey, you know.
I mean, I'll take it.
Are you done?
That's fine.
I don't think I heard your guys' opinions on the Isle of Armor. I feel like either people loved it or hated it. I feel like there was no in between.
I loved it. Like I said, I think to go with the thing we were talking about earlier, like I wish more of the main game was like that. But it was so crazy for such theoretically a small piece of land, I guess, in the overall world, it feels way bigger than it is. And I will never forget when the game first came out, and basically, or when the expansion first came out, everyone just like hauling ass to the giant whale lord that was just sitting out in the bay. Like that was super freaking cool. But even like, I think like some of the other, like the story I thought was a lot of fun. Like I said, I really liked it. I'm just at the point now where I liked it so much that I selfishly want more. And I'm hoping that's what we'll get with Crown Tundra. I liked it. I feel like Christian, you were middling on it.
No. I thought it was great. My only complaint with it is that when I do like future playthroughs of the game, like I don't see how I'm not just going to, like, as soon as I have access to the Isle of Armor, just go over there and then just stay over there. Like, I wish there was like a more like integration of like the DLC into like the main series game. Like that is like my sole complaint. Is like, you know, like, because I can't imagine doing the wild area, like the amount of time I've spent in like the base wild area since the DLC came out is basically zero. Like I mean, there's just no point. It's so bland compared to what we saw in the Isle of Armor. And the other thing, like, you know, the Isle of Armor fixed like my biggest complaint about the wild area was like it made no sense. Where it's like, okay, I'm going to go from like this lake over to like this area with trees, and suddenly wildly different climate, and like, oh, and the Pokemon, they don't move like the 5 feet, you know, between regions and stuff like that. At least they had like tunnels and stuff like that, but like, you know, like provide a little bit of like, I don't know, like it helped with that that kind of like illusion. You know, kept that alive. Yeah. Like that was my biggest complaint about the wild area, and it fixed it. It was just like such an upgrade to like so many of the issues people had with the base game, and I can't really see myself playing the base game now.
It's also like a weird thought process of like once like the Isle of Armor is not that big, and I feel like for most players the first day or two you felt like lost in it.
Yeah.
Whereas the old wild area, you're just like, oh, this is just flat. Everything's flat. I can see from one side to the other. But the Isle of Armor just, it felt like you were exploring something new instead of just like looking from one side of the map to the other and being like, well, I got to go there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, I really hope that, like, I don't think we're going to get a third DLC. Like, but if we do, and like I said, I don't think we actually will, but if we do, I hope it somehow swaps out the base wild area, like send a comet, destroy the wild area as we know it, and like totally change everything. That would be awesome.
Well,
apocalyptic like level event to happen, just clear out everything.
I mean, they do it in Fortnite like all the time.
I like how we are now comparing Pokemon to Fortnite. We've reached peak 2020, everyone.
I think also too, if they did something that like really changed up the like the spawn rates or even spawn areas like of the wild area, like really truly mixed it up, it would give people a reason to kind of go back. But they don't. I mean, it's the same Pokemon that you're going to find in the wild area from now until, you know, we die. So
I always felt like if they really wanted, they probably don't care because they sold how many 18 million copies. Right. But if they really wanted to do like goodwill towards the very vocal people that are still adamantly against Sword and Shield, and they have their reasons, like whether they're Pokemon cuts or graphics or whatever. I always felt like they could just do a goodwill service of updating the old wild area with the following Pokemon, maybe mixing up the spawns, maybe touching up the graphics, and just like a free update specifically for that, I think would push probably some people, not all. I think there are just people that will forever wear this I hate Sword and Shield forever on their chest. But
yeah,
we've seen plenty of companies do goodwill stuff in their games before, but I don't think Pokemon ever has or has needed to because of the amount of copies they've sold.
It's true. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, look, it's, and we, you know, we joke about it all the time, but like, you know, I'm number one Geodude stan, right? Not getting Geodude in that game anytime soon. And I'm sad about it, but I get it. Like, but at the same time, like, and we've talked about this even like before the game came out, or just like, they were like, you know, like you said, that there was a very vocal group that was just like, no, you know, not every Pokemon's going to be in it, then why bother? And I'm like, because there's going to be a lot of new Pokemon in it and some old favorites. Like, that's why bother. Like, just get over yourself. All right. Speaking of old Pokemon, let's jump to the next thing, where there is a rumor about some sort of virtual console similar to, you know, what it already exists on the Switch with old Nintendo and Super Nintendo and things like that, games like that, will bring all the old Pokemon games to the Switch. Thoughts?
So this came in the aftermath of the Mario 3D All-Stars, which comes out this Friday, and there was a relatively credible insider who just made an offhand comment where it was like, boy, if you hate what's going on with these Mario games, you're really going to hate what happens with Pokemon. And that like set off this like series of speculation. We've seen this for a while. I honestly think it's a great idea. Like the Pokemon Red and Blue and Pokemon Gold and Silver sold like hotcakes on the Game Boy, like those virtual consoles, with no upgrades whatsoever. I mean, you know, with the exception of the fact that you could get like Mew and like Celebi in those games to complete the Pokedex. No significant changes to them whatsoever. And they did really well. So I think that the market's really still there. I think that would give a lot of fans what they want. To this day, there are still tons of people playing like emulator versions of those older games on their computers, and this would give people a reason to, you know, switch over from illegal emulators to a legal emulator. I think it's win.
And then, like, and imagine if they did that, and then they also connected it to home.
Yeah,
I don't think they can release any old games without connecting it to home.
Yeah.
That would not be a good situation.
Oh,
yeah, they did the work on 3DS to connect it, and that was like a huge argument. What was that? That was like 4 or 5 years ago.
Yeah,
where they announced Red and Blue, but they didn't announce that it was going to work. And then I thought, why would anyone buy this? Like, you want to always move your Pokemon forward.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they didn't announce until like a week before the game came out. It was like, hey, by the way, you can move your Pokemon. Like, why'd you hold this so long?
That's what like was one, like, because I always assumed it's like you have the Pokemon bank. You know, it's like, I remember just like how fierce people were like arguing back and forth over that. I was like, come on, they got to do this. But I keep forgetting like what seems like a common sense thing for like us. It's not necessarily a common sense thing with the Pokemon company. But, you know, like I certainly hope, you know, the only argument that I could see against that is we're still to the point where right now with those virtual console games on the Game Boy, or on the 3DS. I keep calling it a Game Boy, even though they moved away from that branding like decades ago. Is that, you know, you still have a way to access Pokemon from every old game. Like, you have to jump through like 15 hoops to do so.
Hoops. Yeah, so many hoops.
But, you know, hypothetically, with those virtual console games, You can access it. But I mean, I think that, you know, making the, we're moving away from the 3DS anyways. So I'm totally removing the Pokemon Bank from the equation is, and just switching it to Pokemon Home would just make so much sense. But yeah, I think it would be a brilliant idea. The only thing that they would have to do is make it so that you could get those mythical Pokemon to complete your Pokedex in each of those games, which would somehow like devalues those mythical Pokemon if everyone could get their hands on it. But yeah. Oh well.
All right, but if you had the option to go to, you know, they announced they're putting them in a virtual console on the Switch, what's the first one you're going for to go play?
Ruby. Sorry, just Ruby. That is always my favorite. Sorry.
Steve, which one are you going for?
Gosh, probably. Well, how old of Pokemon games? Like, all, what are we going up to? Gen 5, Gen...
I would even throw like the Gen 6 and Gen 7 on there, to be honest.
I'd probably go to Black and White.
Yeah, that was probably what I would pick. That is the one Pokemon game that I haven't spent a ton of time with, is Pokemon Black and White. That got released during my dark period when I wasn't playing Pokemon. And while I picked up it, you know, there was just so much other Pokemon content. I don't think I got too much past like the first few cities in there. So I've never really done like a deep dive into the Unova region. So I would love to really get to experience that for like really the first time. Either that, or I would pick Heart Gold and Soul Silver, because those are really good games that I love.
I have a ton of weird childhood nostalgia for Emerald. And so that would be the one that I'd probably go back to, just because it's just warm and fuzzy for me.
I can't imagine, though, if this rumor is true, they would just dump them all, right?
Because like, no, they would definitely stagger. I think they would definitely stagger them out. If they just dropped them all at once, that would be nuts. But like, honest to God, I don't think I would, especially if they found some way to include some kind. I mean, look, we all know that the like Nintendo online system is a huge, you know, can be a huge real pain in the butt at times. But if they found a way to, like, you know, be able to connect them all so you can do battles or trades or whatever, like, I would go nuts. Like, I you know, there are going to be times where, like, I will probably be like one of maybe six people playing Emerald at any, you know, given point in time.
Yeah.
But
you know, My big question is, okay, so let's say hypothetically that they come out with a Pokemon Virtual Console. So instead of like the Nintendo or Super Nintendo consoles that we've seen thus far, they come up with like a Pokemon specific software in which you then go and purchase the games off there for like 10 or 15 bucks. Kind of like what they did with, you know, Gold and Silver and Red and Blue. Mm-hmm. Let's say they did that. Would they start then releasing like franchise-based virtual console games? Like, could you imagine getting like all those like great old Zelda games that came out on the Game Boy and 3DS and stuff like that?
As much as I love the Switch rendition of Link's Awakening, like, give me the old school cartridge like emulator version on the Switch. Like, that's what I want.
Like, you know, like, you wouldn't even need to, like, throw in, like, the N64 or, like, GameCube versions. Just, well, like, all the stuff that you could originally just only get through the Game Boy. Like, you know, like, we could even, like, talk about, like, stuff like you know, like, some of those, like, Fire Emblem games and things like that. Like, switch over from, like, we'll have this emulator, like, a Nintendo emulator on here, to, like, we're now releasing this by franchise.
Well, but there's even all those other, like, all the other Pokemon games that you could even release on a Pokemon.
Pokemon, you know, Pinball, guys. The Switch has a great vibration function. So, like, that would be so cool. Come on. Pokemon Puzzle League. Oh, I played that so much on the N64. But, like, we have precedents of Nintendo executives. I mean, going back to the Zelda issue, I mean, Shigeru Miyamoto, like, all the team that was, like, hyping that franchise when they announced that Link's Awakening was being redone for the Switch. They were like, the primary reason we're doing this is an accessibility issue. It's just so difficult to be able to play the original Link's Awakening. So we just redid it. I mean, I know there are people who have issues with, you know, virtual consoles, but I think it'd be a great way to just continue to push forward that legacy for new fans.
How much would you, let's say the Pokemon, like if a Pokemon virtual console, this is all, again, all hypothetical, whatever, but let's say it was a bit more subscription-based, kind of like the Nintendo and Super Nintendo ones are tied to, you know, an online subscription. How much would you pay for basically a subscription that they would then, you know, release games on a timely basis to go back and play? Would you, or is that a bridge too far?
For Pokemon, I don't know if they could do that.
Maybe like three bucks a month, and like in the first quarter you get Red and Blue, and then maybe in like 6 months then they roll out Gen 2. And then, but for like $3 a month, you get access to go play.
I remember.
But in 10 months.
Do you remember when Pokemon Bank first came out, and it like came out that like, if you didn't like renew your subscription to Pokemon Bank in a somewhat timely fashion, and there was like a pretty large window in timely fashion, but your Pokemon could be lost to the ether forever. People would like lose their freaking minds if they went to a subscription model.
I mean, even the $16 a year for Pokemon Home, people lost their minds. It's like $1.40 a month. It's like pretty cheap.
Yeah, no, it's like that's like the thing. Like, I don't think that people would really be down for like moving to that subscription model. I think that people would much rather just pay the money to get access to the software and just be done with it. And then, you know, because where the subscription model comes in is with Pokemon Bank or Pokemon Home. You know, you get that service. I think that Nintendo has kind of been at least somewhat resistant to the whole, like, we need to subscribe to stuff in order to get access to these games. I mean, even they would either go like, nope, you have 3 months to pick up Pokemon Red and Blue for the Switch. Then they would, like, you have to pay $3 a month to have access to that software. That just seems like what they would do is, like, you know, they'd much rather vault stuff than, like,
oh yeah,
put it behind a subscription model, you know?
Yeah, with the whole Mario thing, I can see them being like, here's Red and Blue for our 25th anniversary, but you can only buy it for 2 months before it's gone again.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, like, I think, honestly, I don't expect if they were to, whatever their plans are, supposing Pokemon has some plan to re-release old games, it's got to line up with the 25th anniversary, right? Like, they're not going to go and, like, say, yep, we're doing a Pokemon virtual console for the holidays. That makes no sense. Yeah. Like, it's got to be a 25th anniversary thing,
yeah,
right?
I think so, too. Yeah.
But it's a very logical next step after Crown Tundra comes out, right? So, like, Crown Tundra comes out, you know, this fall, and then it's like, okay, here's this. Gives them time, potentially, in between whatever they have to make for their next game announcement. I mean, like, we know they've got other stuff coming, right? Like, we know Snap is coming and, you know, things like that, but yeah, we'll see. All right, we have to take a quick break. We'll get back. And when we get back, we'll finish up some Pokemon Go news and Pokemon skateboards. Then we'll get into the deep dive and go on from there. We'll be right back.
Is your child struggling with a specific subject or need help with homework? Are they asking questions that you're not sure you can fully answer? IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL is designed. This program will improve your kids' grades. Studies done in almost every state in the country, the kids who had IXL are consistently doing better. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid no matter the age or personality. And it doesn't have to eat up all your time. One subscription gets you everything for all the kids in your home, pre-K to 12th grade. So don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/audio. Visit IXL.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Well, it's another week, and we have another new Pokemon Go bug, per se. But before we get to that, did anyone get a shiny Tentacool/Cruel yesterday during the spotlight?
I did.
I am so jealous.
That's because I actually already had a...
Oh, of course, right. You know, Christian, all the shinies. I have 14 Charizards and whatever. But
all right, Steve, you need to realize something here. Jim doesn't have a Charizard.
I don't have a Charizard. So I was a big day one player for about a year or so into it, and then I fell out of Pokemon Go. And I have only recently rekindled that passion and love for the game. And so I have missed a lot in that time, but also like I'm also a pretty casual player when it comes to that. Like, I mean, I've got I have a 5-year-old who, you know, is who I'm playing with now, cause she just, you know, she loves it. But like, so, you know, in the time that I was gone or whatever, like, you know, Megan and Christian are basically pro players at this point compared to me, which looks like it starts at day one. But Tentacool was one of like, he is on my list of favorites.
You have the most terrible list of favorite Pokemon.
I know. I love Tentacruel. I love Tentacruel. Tentacruel, I could.
Was it the anime episode where it was destroying the city?
I love that one. It's a great episode.
That episode is responsible for one like the coolest visuals, and like nothing else. Like that visual where it's like Pikachu, Butterfree, and Zubat like flying in Pokemon into war. It's like that's like the most epic freaking moment in that like first like 30 episodes, and like the rest of that entire episode is like so weird and like ridiculous.
Whenever available, I always had a Tentacruel on my team.
They were always available, Jim.
I know they were always available, but that's what I mean. Like, I love Tentacruel. I love them. I must have caught easily like 80 Tentacruel yesterday, and
you just described my Pokemon Red and Blue experience, where it's like, yeah, I think I caught like 80 Tentacool going down one route, because they spawned like nobody's business.
It was the water Zubat, basically. You just couldn't you couldn't escape it.
No,
everywhere.
I totally forgot that you like Tentacool. Oh god.
Christian, give us a rundown on what the Mega Evolution bug is.
So this has got to be like one of the funniest bugs I've seen in a while. So what it is, it impacts Pokemon that have been powered up disproportionately. So when you Mega Evolve a Pokemon, not only do you get the fixed boost, it takes into account how much you've powered up your Pokemon over its lifespan. So if you take the example that people have keep pointing to, if you take a level 1 Weedle and evolve it to a Beedrill, level it up to level 40, and then Mega Evolve it, its CP will be 12,000 with stats to match.
Okay.
It is specifically because when you Mega Evolve your Pokemon right now, it doubles that like power-up bonus. So like the level 1 to level 40, that like multiplier that comes into into effect, it then takes that, and then it does it again. And it's like, what the freaking... it's amazing. And it affects all Mega Evolved Pokemon, even the ones that don't... not all of them show, like, a CP of 12,000. But, like, let's say I take a Bulbasaur and I evolve it, and then I level 1 Bulbasaur, and I do the same sort of thing, it will also get that boost. It just won't say it has like a CP of like 30,000 or whatever. And so people are like discovering, it's like, wow, Mega Evolution.
Like, how much candy would you need? Like, let's say someone were to do it now. Like, you would need just millions of candy.
Well, so here's the secret, Jim, and you probably aren't aware of this. But a lot of players who have been playing this game for a long time
have lots of candy.
Of these Pokemon to burn. Mm-hmm. So really, really, you know, all you need to do is find a low-level Bulbasaur, Charmander, Squirtle, Pidgeot, or Pidgey, or Weedle with good IVs, and then just power them up like crazy, and suddenly you have yourself a Mega Evolution God.
See, that's the weird barrier that I feel that Pokemon Go has sometimes for like just new folks coming in, right? Where, you know, there's always going to be that case of FOMO, and believe me, it's very real. I feel it every day.
Yeah.
But but at the same time, right? Like it's like we'll knock on some of the other mobile games for being too grindy at times, but like if you know there are ways that you can just pay your way up in Pokemon Go, but if you just want to stay, you know, free to play or whatever, like you are going to, it's a lot of work.
I mean, it's a lot of work in that, like, if you spend, like, the thing that I like about Pokemon Go is, like, I can spend an hour a day playing it for free.
Yes.
And you know, if I do that every day, I mean, I'm like level 39 and like 3/4. And you know, all I do is I play Pokemon Go when I'm on my walk. Like, do I miss out on some stuff? Like, yeah, like I don't do the raids because I don't have friends. Other than that, like I do the stuff. I just,
yeah,
I don't know. But you know, I also have a shiny tentacle and you don't, so.
So really, who's the winner in this situation?
I mean, the answer is always me. And like every facet.
Steve, are you digging the new Mega Evolution stuff?
Yeah, it's fine.
Whatever. That is our exact response as well.
There's like so many things good about Pokemon Go and so many things that are bad, and I don't think Mega Evolution is the worst, and there's like a few very vocal people out there that this is like the hill they want to die on. They're like, this is the worst thing they've ever done, renting a mega Pokemon. And it's like, yeah, it's not like super great, but like I don't just have enough passion to like die on this hill. Like I just feel like there's other things that I would rather, like, I don't know, put effort into complaining about, I guess. But it's okay. Like if a friend like right now, there are really no raids I'm interested in. I've done a bunch of Cresselia the last couple times they showed up, and like I guess I could do that, but I don't need any more. So if somebody invites me to a Mega Blastoise or a Venusaur, like for me it's more like they probably need it more than I do, and I want to help them out because in return down the line, I don't want to be the dude that like denies everyone's raids, and then when I need help, they're like, "Oh, Steve doesn't help me. Why would I help him?" So that's kind of like the weird social thing I'm feeling, but I don't know. It's a buck. I probably spend like $1 a day. I don't know. It does. Now that I say, let's spend like $30 a month. I spend like $300 a year. No, I think I only spend about maybe $200 a year on Pogo, which is.
What are you normally spending it on?
I'm almost always upgrading my storage.
Yep.
And the permanent upgrades. I've never bought Pokeballs. Probably mostly raid passes. Incubators just don't do it for me. I just always feel bad.
That's the thing. It's like it always ends up being a disappointment. Like to this day, I still don't have a Riolu. And like I have tried. I swear, it's not like I'm like Jim Viscardi-ing it, where like I complain about it and have put in like no effort into it. Like I have probably gotten like, you know, done like at least 7 kilometer eggs this year, and not one. Like it's, you know, just terrible luck. So I've like given up on eggs in general. It's like, eh, whatever. I'll use my default one. My freebie. They really need to give us a new free permanent incubator. That should be a reward.
I feel like if we're talking about subscriptions, like Pokemon Go is like prime for a subscription. right?
Oh, for sure.
Like $10, like Mario Super Circuit or whatever has subscription. Fire Emblem Heroes has subscription. Animal Crossing, I think, has Pocket Camp has a subscription, I think. So like Pokemon Go for like what, $10 a month, give you a free permanent incubator, maybe like double Stardust or something.
Or even more storage. I'll just take the storage. I'll pay a subscription.
I'll just take remote raid passes at this point. I've spent more money on remote raid passes in this quarantine than like I'm comfortable admitting to the public.
But remote raids are they're a weird thing, right? Because if you're in a densely, like if you're in a city, then it's easy, right? So you can do a lot of raids and stuff from home. Mm-hmm. But if you live out in the country or whatever, like you're either relying on, you know, a friend to go out and venture somewhere into the, you know, like, because the whole purpose of it was like, we want everyone to stay home. COVID's incredibly serious and still is. But for those of you who, you know, don't have raids or stops or gyms nearby, still going to have to go out and find them.
Yeah.
But whatever, it's funny. I get lucky because I still have a lot of friends in New York City who still play quite a bit, and so it's I'll get a text being like, with a screenshot being like, "Hey, you want in?" And I'm like, "Oh yeah, absolutely." And then I lose, but whatever, it's fine.
Yeah, that's the situation. Like my fiance, his older brother, there's like a group chat of like 10 of us. And like, literally it's almost every hour. They're like, do you want in on this? Do you want in on this raid? And it's like, oh yeah, sure, I'll help. Cause I'm like, I feel you, Steve. I don't want to be that person who doesn't help when they need help.
Right.
But then it's like, I'm burning these remote raid passes. Like I'm going through like 5 or 6 a day. And it's like,
yeah.
I can't keep up with this.
Yeah. I counted, I did 52 Deoxys in a week. Holy which is the boy. Most raids I've ever done, because I was hunting for the shiny one. And like 52 sounds like a lot, but man, I know people that did 200, 300 just because like they wanted like the 100%. It's like, I don't care about that. Yeah. I just wanted to be a different color.
Yeah.
I remember.
Did you end up getting a shiny one?
I did, yeah.
Nice. Oh, I remember when they first like made like the EX raid invites a thing. And so I had a buddy who like lived right by like an EX raid, like an EX raid eligible gym. And so like he invited me out to like Deoxys day one. I was like, yeah, I'll take this. So I went and like got it and I caught it. And I was like, okay, I got my Deoxys. And then like, you know, like 3 days later, he's like, do you want to do another one? I'm like, nope, I got my one.
Good. I appreciate you sticking to your guns, Hoffer.
I was like, nope, I'm not going to drive, do another 20-minute drive during my lunch break to get a Pokemon that I already have. It's like, you sir, have found my limit to this game.
Probably the most reasonable limit, though.
Yeah. It's like, I'll do that once. You get me once. It's like Pokemon Go Fest. It's like, yeah, I'll go out to Pokemon Go Fest one time a year to one place. Like, yeah, I'll do it once. And it's like, you know, but once they're like, yeah, we have like 4 or 5 Pokemon Go Fests across the U.S. I'm like, that's nice. And just go about my day again. It's like, people, I do appreciate that people are still so passionate about that game.
Oh,
after all this time. Mm-hmm. It's great.
Well, that's it. And we've talked about, like, they have really done a lot to really, like, pump some new life into the game. And whether or not COVID accelerated or even decelerated some plans is still, totally appreciate the fact that they are still putting out super cool stuff and moving the story along and all that. And in a way that they had not been, I feel like, a year or so ago. So, all right, let's jump to the last thing. Then we'll talk about Pokemon Journeys. If you are a skateboard fan, more Pokemon skateboards are coming your way, courtesy of the Pokemon Center.
These look really cool. Like it's the Bear Walker. This is their second series. There's 5 of them. There is an awesome Rayquaza, a Togepi for whatever reason. Togepi,
radical Togepi.
Yeah, it's just like what he's like. It's not even like Togepi like trying to look cool. It's just like Togepi's like jumping around like, hi guys, I'm on a skateboard now. We have like the cutest Umbreon possible, and then we have Mew and like a 50-year-old Toxtricity. I mean, like, he looks like an old man who has seen...
It's just weird. It's the way that they have his eye, where it looks like he's just got this, like, weird bag under it that just makes it look so much older. And it, but, like, is perfect for the aging hipster in your life.
That is a hungover Toxtricity. That is what that is. Yeah. That is a Toxtricity that, like, went to, like, a... I don't know.
Too much acid, basically.
These skateboards are really, really cool. I'm not gonna lie. I was very close to picking up one of the Gengar ones from their first.
Were they 200, 500? What were the? I don't remember what the cost on the originals were. They were way more than I wanted to spend.
Yes. I mean, that I remember that being the thing for me being like, ooh, I don't think I need it. I don't skateboard, but it looks really freaking cool. Yeah.
I mean, but now I'm trying to I think they were.
They didn't even have the new ones listed.
Let's see here.
That's weird.
185 to 200.
Okay.
Yeah, little outside my price range. I do have to add this in because I didn't get a chance to tell Hoffer because I'm in the middle of writing about this. But in Japan, they are releasing these things called Pokemon Ride, and they're basically like when you were a kid, those like balloons with handles that you could hop on. They've made a Pikachu one, and it is the strangest thing I have ever seen in my life. It's just this commercial of like this like little girl who's on like the little kid version Pikachu. She's just riding Pikachu around the house, and then her
dad. Are the handles like Pikachu's ears? Is that
Basically, they're like kind of like behind the ears, so like you can't really see them.
Oh, okay.
And then out of nowhere, her like grown father comes in on like a stool. Like proportionately small Pikachu bouncy, which I'm sure he's over the weight limit for, but he doesn't care. And he's like furiously bouncing after her. And now I am desperate for one of these. I need one so bad in my life. So I'm just throwing that out to everyone who like ever wanted one of those. They're apparently here and they'll be coming out soon.
Yeah, I will. If they do get released in the United States, I will probably end up buying one for my son. So he can fulfill his dream of riding a Pikachu.
There it is.
Yeah.
All right. One of the other things I wanted to mention, only because I happened to see it scroll through my feed, it looks like, as far as the trading card game is concerned, Champion's Path is hitting stores somewhere. I don't know. I've started to see folks with the pack. Are you starting to see the shiny Charizards start to hit the market, and they are going for like crazy secondhand market prices? Like,
yeah, I think the official date is the 25th, but Walmart and Target don't care.
They're here.
They don't get paid enough that we need to fill the shelf, put it on the shelf.
That's right. We got it. Put it on the shelf.
It's like, so, we're in a pandemic. We need money. This is Pokemon. It'll sell.
So, you know, the other crazy thing, they're currently, so one of the like biggest like letdown stories of the week, which I wasn't going to put in here, but since we're talking about the trading card game, all of a sudden there was a Pokemon bus that kept getting spotted around like the UK, like in London. Mm-hmm. And like people were like, oh, what is this? What are they doing? It's like it's a trading card game ad. They're filming a new commercial. And it's like everyone's so excited. It's like Pokemon bus. What could it mean? And it's like it's the commercial, guys.
Yeah, but the theories about that bus were hilarious. Reading on Twitter, everyone was like, "It's a mobile like spot that only rare Pokemon for Pokemon Go will spawn at. You have to get on the bus to catch the Pokemon." And I was like, "Man, you're putting a lot of faith in this."
Those theories are all valid, and I get that because I'll never forget the first summer Pokemon Go came out, and they surprise announced the Hall H panel, and everyone was like, "Oh man." There's going to be like Mewtwo is going to spawn at Hall H and everyone at Comic-Con is going to lose their minds. And it was basically just like the president of Niantic talking about how much money they made.
I remember Jim was like, I forget if it was Jim or if it was Brandon who was like angry texting me through the entire thing.
I was sitting in a row with a bunch of other, like I've got, you know, I had Terry from IGN sit next to me. There were so many big entertainment outlets sitting in that row, just like, thanking God that they got you know, a press pass into the panel, and everyone just looking at each other going, oh, so they're not announcing anything, are they?
It's like Jim's like angry texting me through this entire thing. He's like, what is the deal with Pokemon Go and Niantic? It's like, God, they are totally wasting an all Hall H appearance. I'm like, dude, I don't think they care, Jim. They're too busy, like, you know, like trying to like stick their head out of all of the money they've made.
I figured that once the panel started and everyone was just like, oh. All right. Anyway, let's move on because we got Pokemon Journeys to talk about and then Pokemon Fact of the Week. And then we got to get out of here. So new episodes, the second batch of episodes are now on Netflix. So if you have not started them, I would just either pause or just like scrub ahead 5 or 10 minutes and then it should be safe for you. But Christian, I know you and I are in the wait it out camp while Megan watches the Japanese releases. Have you, did you binge it all already?
I got like 3 episodes left. Unfortunately, my son started digital school last week. So, that kind of ate
into that precious Pokemon Journeys time.
It did. Like, I've been rewarding him with episodes of Pokemon Journey for like a good day of school. We're like 9 episodes in. I think the last one that we did was the one where he like bonds with the Riolu, Riolu egg through like the sheer willpower of his Pokemon battles like a mile away. I enjoyed them. Like, I really like the Coronation series battles that they're doing. It's a lot of like solid continuity. Honestly, this might be my favorite series. Like, it's still early, but like I genuinely love this take on, like, and these are honestly, these 12 episodes, like the 9 that I've viewed so far, you know, are somehow like such a step up from the first 12. That's what like my big like takeaway from it is, like, man, these episodes just get better. Like, as soon as we get away from Leon, like, man, it's just all uphill.
Steve, you watching this?
Yeah, I have not started the next 12. I ended at the Leon stuff. Right, okay. So I have like 1 or 2 episodes of that, and then I can start these next 12.
For your sake, we won't spoil them.
Well, I feel like Twitter is really good at spoiling.
Yeah. Twitter. I mean, yesterday they had National Ash Ketchum Day trending. So yeah. It was bound to happen.
I don't watch like a lot of anime, so I don't know like what because I know people will fight over like, I want this, the dubbed or the subbed, and Pokemon doesn't have that, right? They just have the Japanese, and then eventually the rest of the world gets it. Yeah. So I don't know what the rules are, but I feel like as soon as a Japanese episode of Pokemon comes out, it's like,
that's it.
That everyone knows, and it's like weird because I know I'm not going to see that for like 3 or 4 months.
Yeah, no, but I remember like people were screaming. So, you know, we have a Twitter account which, you know, we use occasionally, and I just remember like I put my phone down on Sunday at some point to like go and like live my life a little, and I come back and like I have all these notifications, and it's people yelling at us. Because in the latest episode of Pokemon Journeys in Japan, Ash goes back to Alola and we get like a catch up. But one of the things is he meets like Kukui and Burnett's son, and they refer to him as his little brother. And so like our article about that, which got retweeted on our Pokemon podcast account, was like Ash meets his little brother, which is like something that literally gets said. In the freaking, and people went, they were losing their minds. And it's like, one, no one, like,
yeah,
but it was a lot of actually it's not his real brother, it's Kakui's son.
it's like watch the illegal episode like the rest of us, like, find the clip on Twitter, guys.
Like, literally Burnett calls Ash Leia's older brother. It's literally said by her, and Ash agrees. So it's like, family's not just blood, guys. Come on, Pokemon should have taught you that already.
I will say though, And this, you know, I realized the joke I'm making on myself, but we watched the Surge episode with Nora, and at the end of it, Nora was like, yeah, I don't like that guy.
Yep. That's man,
Surge is one of my favorite of the OG gym leaders, and so
I remember.
How did that betrayal feel? Top 10 anime betrayals.
Oh, that stung so much. No, I mean, like, it was just perfect. I was like, of course it would happen like this.
My favorite part of that episode is like, you know, so they have like a surrogate gym leader, and she's like, Ash Ketchum from Pallet Town, Lieutenant Surge has spoken about you. I was like, oh, he's been speaking about the embarrassing loss he took like 10 years ago from you, buddy. It's like, man, he's still not over that. Just like absolute, like his first like real Pokemon battle victory in a gym battle was against like Lieutenant Surge. And it's like the only one he had up until like, I don't know, like Koga. So it's like, we're talking like three gyms. Like out of the first six, he got one legit victory and it was against Lieutenant Surge. It's like, ah, yes, Lieutenant Surge still speaks about this to this day and how embarrassing it was. We can't even show his face on the anime because his loss was so pathetic and humiliating. It's like, I was dying during that. It's like this entire sequence where it's just like mentioned as like this nice little moment of continuity. And I was just like on the ground howling. Like, just, I thought it was the funniest thing. I was like, man, like, oh God. When Lieutenant Surge eventually shows up in the anime and like jobs to Ash and Pikachu again, like I am going to just freaking, it's going to be, we should do like a live stream of that. You know, like a Netflix watch party, you know, with like a reaction cam of Jim's face.
Oh,
he just watches like Lieutenant Surge take his lumps. Rude. Again.
Wow.
All right. Let's jump to the Pokemon Fact of the Week.
Well, we're continuing our stretch down the, you know, Pokedex, and we're to Rhyhorn and Rhydon. And, you know, so there's a little bit of debate over what was the first Pokemon ever created. And in reality, there's not a debate. It's Rhydon. Rhydon is the first Pokemon that was ever made. It was the first Pokemon that they designed. It appears in all of the early conceptual art. Rhydon was the first Pokemon ever created. You know, so when people ask you that question, listeners, you can answer with confidence. There's no debate here. It always drives me nuts over like when people talk about like what is the first Pokemon. It's like, we know this. So, you know, it's not the sexiest Pokefact of the week. It's not, you know, like, you know, Lickitung can like tie cherry stems with its tongue. But I feel like this is a valuable fact you need to know. Rhydon came from. Now, why of all like the generic ass Pokemon that we've have, like Rhydon of all things, you know, but there you go. Also,
I mean, I'm sure it's because it kind of, its design is like traditionally like kaiju-esque, which, you know, it's reminiscent of Godzilla and all of his little buddies. So I'm sure that they're probably like, oh, what kind of looks like a friend of Godzilla's, but isn't Godzilla, so we can use it in this game.
Also, Rhydon apparently became more intelligent by walking on its hind legs. That is the like big Pokedex entry from it.
It's
like,
it
stood up on two legs and got smarter. It's like, you know, there's like a stretch. We've been like covering these Pokefacts now for like 70 episodes. And, you know, it cracks me up. Just like we go from like this like really crazy, zany stuff to like then like just boring Pokemon facts. Like yes. This Pokemon, I just love the fact skin.
That for like Rhyhorn in a number of the games, they go out of their way to mention Rhyhorn's very small brain. Like, mm-hmm. What? That's terrible.
It's not nice.
But like Rhyhorn.
Nice, but as we've discovered, the Pokemon universe isn't nice.
But see, let's say like I like the design of Rhyhorn more than I like the design of Rhydon, because Rhyhorn just reminds me of kind of like, I have a Basset Lab mix puppy, or not puppy, she's a dog now, but she kind of is like, I mean, she's basically like a tiny pig basically, and but like can run. And so like I can imagine having a Rhyhorn and just like want to scratch its belly.
I was waiting.
It'd be so adorable.
connect the dog.
It's just super.
To this,
it's just like
ugly ass rock Pokemon.
Oh, like, it's not. There are way worse designed Pokemon than Rhyhorn.
Like Geodude.
No, oh, you watch your mouth.
So I say, I set myself up and then I swung away.
You watch your mouth. All right, I think that's gonna do it for us for this week. Steve, where can people find you on the internet?
Sure. So I host a weekly Pokemon podcast that comes out every Monday called It's Super Effective. You can find me pretty much anywhere at PKMN, the way they used to spell in Red and Blue, and then they kind of like phased away from that. PKMNCAST, Pokemon Cast, short for, or just PokemonPodcast.com. For some reason, no one took that domain 10 years ago, and good SEO on that one.
So have you been doing your show for 10 years now?
Yeah, 10 years this past July.
Wow.
I really want to disable the first like 200 episodes because I was like 22 when I started the show, I think. And I was probably like the biggest edgelord hot topic kid back then.
I feel that though so much.
I one of the things that I love about the Pokemon like fandom in general is that there are so many websites and podcasts and communities that like date back like 10-20 years and are still going strong. It's like, you know, all three, Jim, Megan, and I all come from like comics, and like, you know, so many communities have like been like erased from the internet, and it's like, you know, so many, like we're on, like, seriously, since I jumped into comics, we're probably on like the fourth cycle of this, and like meanwhile it's like, you know, like CeraVe is still around, Poke Beach, you know, Poke Jungle, like you guys, like, you know, like all of these like really great, like venerable, like they're like the, you know, some of these websites can drink now, they've been around for that, you know, so long, and it's like, yeah, that is like really fantastic that, you know, so many people are so willing to like be Pokemon fans for so long. That's just, oh man, it's like my favorite part about this community.
Yeah, mm-hmm. For sure. I will say too, like Steve probably got one of the best Pokemon related Twitch channels as well, because like I've gotten like crazy into Twitch over the last couple of months, and so it's like, like I said, like I think you do a great job with that, so thanks for joining us, man. We appreciate it. Mm-hmm. If you want to get in touch with either of the three of us on Twitter, you can find us all at PokemonPodCB on Twitter. You can find me at Jim Viscardi.
You can find me on Twitter at Hoffer CBus. CB.
Yes. I go last. I was waiting for Megan.
I was looking at you.
Wow, I was interrupted.
I'm sorry, Megan.
Man, I was mid sentence. We're just gonna put over like the video just in like full caps. Megan Peters CB Twitter handle.
we're gonna come. If it's not there, just imagine it next week for this. Yeah.
And then, and then if anything, like I said, feel free to tell your friends about the show, obviously, and leave us a review on iTunes. We love reading those. Those are a ton of fun. Otherwise, we'll catch you at the same time, same place next Thursday, folks. We'll catch you later.